We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Mark Gonzalez.
Why is Mike Montgomery awful? Is he played his way out of any meaningful situations?
I think so at this point. And you also look at what lefties are hitting against him. I think it's pretty high. I think it's in the threes, isn't it? It's just been the perfect storm for him, starting from spring training when his shoulder was stiff and he just fell behind. And it's been, instead of catching up, he's kind of regressed a little bit in terms of the pecking order. And that's the guy I see. That I could see him being moved, but for what, I don't know. But you know what, he might be a change of scenery guy at this point.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We've got Joe Sheehan joining us at 10 with all kinds of baseball information as we have the second half getting going. Pretty good for the Cubs, not so good for the White Sox. Midday Midway at 10:40. Dustin Smith, the head Madden ratings adjuster at EA Sports, will bring us behind the curtain there at 11. Sahadev Sharma, beat writer for the Cubs, at 11:20, and surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR, The Score. Email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live, because we're streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or a purposeful or unintentional sext, that's fine too. We get those at 67011. When you send, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Down Download the Radio.com app.
Ned Yost being kept in the dark is a wonderful thing.
Right. I think he should be literally kept in the dark.
Actually, however. Truly and, kept away from the sunlight.
And wherever they send the alligator, they should also send Ned Yost, or have Ned Yost take up residence in the Humboldt Park Lagoon.
If you
That's
missed
fine,
it.
Too.
If you missed it, and we will play it for you later today, nobody told old Neddy that Martin Maldonado was getting traded from his ball club.
Yep.
And hilarity ensued. Can't wait to get
no
to that.
No idea.
Nope.
When you download the Radio.com app, that's when you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook as well by liking the 670 The Score page. There's this camera here. These cameras, I guess, when Brian Gertz arrives, he's in charge of the video feed at watch670thescore.com and at Facebook Live. The producers are Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp, and the man in the back doing what he does, the executioner, Ray Diaz.
So, some pretty sage advice from Mark Gonzalez yesterday when we were talking
about
the Cubs, huh? Veteran scribe Mark Gonzalez, deluxe information on what he thinks may go down. Mike Montgomery traded, 16 hours after we talked with Gonzo about the fact that, yeah, Mike Montgomery could be mixed into a trade. I was, you know, Mike Montgomery threw the most important pitch in Cubs history the last 115 years. Yeah? I mean, that's it? That's the most important pitch in club history?
Yeah.
Okay. Michael Martinez grounds out to the left side, Bryant over to Rizzo, and that's your World Series championship.
I'm not going to debate you on that.
I think there was hope from this Cubs organization that Mike Montgomery could rise to be more than a situational starter and fill-in flex-type guy. Though they had a lot of confidence that that role, that fill-in, flex, multiple-inning, left-handed, curveball specialist at the time he was acquired would be valuable, it turned out to be really not the case in 2019. Last year, he was a savior for them. I mean, even though it went nowhere, losing the member of the rotation as long as you did, and for Mike Montgomery to step in as much as he did,
mm-hmm.
with fine results, I mean, he was a decent starting pitcher, was incredible to keep their head above water. But this season, you weren't getting anything from him, and Joe continually put him in situations, I mean, not the last 2 weeks or so, but prior to the All-Star break, put him in situations to maybe get a big out, to maybe face a big lefty, to maybe, just maybe, hold down the door. Nothing. Absolutely nothing from him. So, in that sense, I don't know that the Cubs gave up anything here to acquire somebody that makes you look a lot better depth-wise behind the plate, as Wilson Contreras is hopefully out for just 10 days with the foot injury for them.
Well, what bugs me a little bit is how the doctors apparently have realized that this is an injury that can get worse were he to continue playing on it. So they noticed something in there. And you know how these things go, that sometimes you get a little weakness or a strained muscle,
sure.
And then it puts pressure on other things. And you say, oh, yeah, well, now it's a stress fracture that has developed because of the cascade of issues in the kinetic chain. And I wanted to understand the injury a little bit more, because you know my job in these things.
You are Captain Worry.
I am. I am the Golden State Worrier. My job is to snap into action and immediately think something is horrible. And this is, it's not good. And when the fact that they made a move like this and said, yeah, you know, we had been talking, but things kind of accelerated when we realized what was going on here. They say 10 days. I always think double it.
He's out until September 1st. He will not be around for until the second round of the playoffs.
I always think double it.
I get that. I would tell you this. Regardless of how long that injury takes to heal and how it necessarily affects him, he gets back to full health. My biggest question about this trade, because I don't think they gave up really much of anything in Mike Montgomery.
They didn't. Just to get a reset on where Montgomery was this year, his earned run average was 5.67. His fielder independent pitching was 6.21. His WAR was -0.6.
And negative is bad in wins above replacement.
Correct. Yes. Correct. He was costing you already 0.6 of a win individually. His poor performance was dragging you 0.6 of a win down.
So Gonzo suggested that his splits against lefties were pretty rough. I looked it up. I had to refresh this page 3 or 4 times because I think Baseball Reference is lying to me, though I know it can't. Versus left-handed batters so far this season, or up to this point this season, Mike Montgomery was issuing a 500 batting average against, a 512 on-base percentage, and an 868 slugging percentage. That's turning every single left-handed batter he faced into the best player that's ever lived times 1,000. That's an unbelievable slash line against. So when it comes to the injury to Wilson Contreras, because again, I don't think he gave up much in Mike Montgomery, and it's fully within my expectations that they go out and find more bullpen help, that they are not done looking at this. Real quickly here, you're going to hear a lot of Theo here over the next couple of minutes. We got the update coming up in a second, but on the injury itself, Theo had this.
He had been feeling a little bit better, gave him an MRI today, and it revealed a strain, and our medical staff feels like if he were to try to play on it, that he'd be risking exacerbating the injury and turning into something long-term. So we have to get ahead of it, take it out of Willie's hands, and get him off his feet. We don't expect it to be longer than the 10 days. That's what we hope for anyway, and we'll end up backdating it 2 days, back to Saturday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So you heard the words of Theo Epstein just before the update there, that the Cubs aren't expecting Wilson Contreras to need more than the 10 days on the injured list for a foot injury. Dr. Bernstein, you have been worried before. You are our captain of worry on this worry ship.
Indeed.
And you're putting what, 20
Ahoy.
Days, 30 days, iceberg ahead? Like where does the strained arch of the foot rate for you in terms of catcher injuries?
High.
Okay. So I have a question.
For anybody, for any athlete, strained arch of foot is scary.
Is that necessarily plantar fasciitis?
No.
It's not?
No.
Okay.
No. You can have, there can be a different muscle in the foot that isn't necessarily plantar fascia.
This is why I got to ask. You know, and I don't. My question, though, because I don't know how this injury necessarily affects Wilson Contreras' future, is how much outfield are the Cubs willing to play him in? How much away from the plate playing time can you afford Wilson Contreras once you get the lineups back together? Because Martin Maldonado is not much of a hitter, though over the last
he's
2 weeks.
He's an elite receiver.
He's very, very good defensively. Victor Caratini, I think, even though the results may not have been there, he's lined out a couple of times over the last 4 games here after the All-Star break. I think the at-bats have looked good. I don't know if there's necessarily a super high ceiling for Victor Caratini, but I could see him being an everyday catcher on a team that doesn't have Wilson Contreras. Sure. I could see that ceiling existing for Victor Caratini. So in my mind, you know, you began the show saying that it sucks that they've got to make a move here because of necessity, because of injury, that they didn't get to pick their spot for a trade and using an asset that clearly the Royals valued in Mike Montgomery. I think that there's a way for them to make this a little bit of a surplus, to make this a better trade than just having to scoop up a replacement for an injured backstop, and that's by moving Wilson Contreras a little bit more often into the outfield. That creates a roster crunch. That might mean that Robel Garcia has to go back down. That may mean that Addison Russell's option has to be triggered again and he's got to be sent back down. That may mean that you've got to put yourself maybe in some uncomfortable positions infield defense-wise. But I think it could be for the betterment of the lineup and for the betterment of whatever pitching staff you've got put together when and if Hamels comes back and when you make your next trade for a bullpen arm.
Unless your doctors tell you he's better off squatting than he is running around covering ground because of the nature of the injury.
Obviously,
right?
Yes. Obviously. And if that's the case, so be it. I rescind all of my outfield talk, and if it's worse for him to run around, you know, so be it. I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you that.
I just don't like the fact that they're chasing. I don't like that already you're headed toward the deadline and saying, yeah, well. Then previously, they had really liked their organizational strength, the depth of that position at catcher.
Yeah.
They've got some young guys they really like. Is it Minaya?
Yeah, but they're a long ways away. Miguel
Amaya
is a ways away. There's another kid down that they like behind the plate, and that's not somebody that could feature this season. It would have been Taylor Davis, and as enjoyable as he is to talk to,
we love him.
God, I love talking to Taylor Davis. He clearly isn't a 10-day option for the Cubs at this point as you approach the deadline. And to be honest, I kind of commend the aggression. I mean, you turning things over to Taylor Davis or whatever, you know, 3 starts out of 10, 4 starts out of 10 was not an option for them. It had to be Martin Maldonado, and I appreciate them being aggressive.
Pitchers love him. And this is the first time in a long time that the Cubs have really had a guy who knows how to set up back there, who knows how to frame, who knows how to deal with some of these guys. He is a very professional defensive catcher, an elite
everyday
receiver.
Type? Yeah. I mean, Ross was not an everyday dude, so that makes sense to me. It probably goes back to Miguel Montero, even though, you know, he was pretty outspoken about the way he was being used. As for Maldonado himself, Theo had a little bit to say last night after the trade about what to expect from the brand new Cubs backstop.
He can really receive. He can really throw. You know, he's caught playoff games. He's handled some of the best pitchers in the game. He's a favorite for pitchers to throw to. He's just very calm back there, very prepared. Calls a great game. Really soft hands. A lot of experience. A lot of savvy. And, you know, someone who we think, you know, can step in and share the job with Vic and get up to speed really quickly. And what we hope is a brief absence from Wilson.
Makes sense to me. It's a veteran backstop that they trust a little bit. When we come back, 2 things that I want you to hear. Theo also spoke about how this trade kind of came down. And that there may have been, it sounds to me like there may have been just a couple more lines in the water when it comes to the Cubs and the Royals, which is interesting because there's a name over and over again that Cubs fans have been asking about as we get closer to the deadline. Plus, Kansas City Royals manager Ned Yost.
This is so good.
Post-game press conference to just trump all post-game press conferences. Nobody told Nettie, and they hung him out to dry. You'll hear him both when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Bernstein and McKnight, Sports Radio 670, The Score. The Cubs lost last night in really sort of annoying and sloppy fashion.
Oh, yeah. Can we get to that for a second?
Stop doing that and pick up the damn ball. And if you want to be a contender and want people to take you seriously, I still think the Cubs are really good. But make the plays. And on a night when the wind's blowing out, hit it out of the park a few times.
To say nothing of facing Luis Castillo and actually working some decent at-bats against an NL Cy Young candidate.
Yeah, I know.
You do that? You take your good six innings against Castillo and throw it in the trash can because you can't pick it up and throw it over?
You could have won the Castillo game.
You could have absolutely done that. You could have taken... It's incredibly frustrating, and it's why, as nice as it was to see him sprint out to three straight W's against the Pirates after the break, that's why this trade was made. That's why they're being aggressive, is they realize, like we told you yesterday and the day before, that they are far from a finished product, that three against the Pirates does not make them a fixed ball club, that they've still got things around the edges to fix. When you're in a division that might be won by one game, you can't afford to have those things drop through. Speaking of dropping the ball, this is, you know that here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, I have brought my umbrage for and toward and against Ned Yost here, and it was met in full with a shared hatred of Ned Yost, I think, right?
Hatred. I just...
Okay, maybe I'm... I can't stand the guy.
Yeah, well, Mike Matheny was more at the top of my list than Ned Yost.
But now that
Matheny has been put out to baseball pasture, Ned Yost would be at the top of the remaining idiot manager list.
Old Neddy. So old Neddy had a moment last night. This is after the Royals game, in which Martin Maldonado, who the Cubs traded for just last night, was removed from the game. Thing of it is, this is the post-game presser. This is when Joe sits down and you hear it on The Score when Zach throws to it in the post-game show. Reporters sitting down, asking questions. PR guy off to the left or the right, wherever Ned has his dude. This is where questions are asked and answered. And apparently, no answers were to be had for Ned Yost.
Maldonado leave with an injury?
I don't even know why he left. I looked up and Cam was catching. I said, "What are you doing out there?" But it was too late. He'd already taken the field.
No idea where he's going right now?
I don't have any idea about nothing.
And then we're joking around a little bit about Maldonado leaving the game, but he's not hurt, right?
I don't think he's hurt.
You were told to take him out of the game.
I just turned around and he was gone.
We may have something before the night's over.
We can
push this.
We tried to wait in there to give you the information, but he panicked because he was afraid that he would piss all you guys off.
You're on the radio right now, live.
Make all you guys mad. So I'm like, all right, well then, come on. So whatever. We tried to wait it out, but. You know, I got a little anxiety set in, and we got to go. So it's like you guys
doing my job, guys.
You guys get nothing.
Gotcha. This is a weird question, I guess. If in this situation, if Cam had gotten hurt, do you have a third catcher? Who would be your emergency catcher?
Mitch.
Mitch. Not legal, right? Can't work it that way, can we?
No, I don't think so, but I would try it.
Maybe you?
I would try it. No, I'm too old.
So, you can do an inning, right?
I don't think I could anymore. I really don't.
But in all seriousness, do you have what's your plan for the other guy?
This may take a few more minutes. Let's.
Just want to have the answer, but wait for a while.
I don't have a program to stall this night. Any other questions about the game?
Has anybody here seen my old friend Martin?
My God.
I just turned around and he was gone.
So Mitch, Ned keeps saying,
I don't know nothing about no nothing.
Ned keeps saying that Mitch was the third option as a catcher. Mitch, as I understand it, is the PR guy who Ned also said panicked, and that's why we're out here with nothing in front of you people, and you get nothing, and you like
that's
it.
Bevington level stuff there.
We tried to wait in there to give you the information, but he panicked because he was afraid that he would piss all you guys off.
You're on the radio right now, live.
Make all you guys mad.
Oh my God.
I don't know nothing.
Oh my God. God, that's fantastic.
I don't have any idea about nothing.
Nothing. The catcher leaves. How can the manager not be told by somebody that their catcher's being traded in the middle of the game?
that a different guy strapping on the gear to go out there.
Right, that tells you all you need to know about your managerial powers. If he isn't even aware. Wait a second here.
A full-on hug watch is going on in the dugout, and Ned is like, I don't know, where's my spit cup? I mean, what are you doing? How do you not know that it's going on? God, that's beautiful.
Gold.
It's just, it's pure, gold.
Nothing. He left and we panicked.
I looked up and Cam was catching. I said, what are you doing out there? But it was too late. He'd already taken the field.
No idea where he's going right now?
I don't have any idea about nothing.
Never stop being you.
This is from the 773. It's like they interviewed a random fan about the trade. Yeah. Three beers in. Yeah. Yeah, it kind of is. God, that's terrific. It really is. So that's the Royals side of the trade. They didn't know Martin Maldonado was coming or going. Where'd who go? But on the other side of things, Theo Epstein talked to reporters last night when the trade happened. We heard him talk about what Martin Maldonado is and what he may mean for this club, what the expectations are and whatnot. He mentioned also that they don't expect Wilson Contreras to miss much more than the 10 days, miss just the 10 days on the injured list.
I'll be here expecting him to miss double that.
For the strained arch in his foot. So there is that. Now, he was also talking about how this trade came together. And about how there were a couple of teams calling on Martin Maldonado and wondering if that backstop was available from Kansas City. But there's info in here. There's something to go after here as Theo talks about how this thing came together.
We've been having discussions with Kansas City, and they had an opening in the rotation after trading Bailey. And they'd been talking to a couple of teams about Maldonado, and we knew that. And we'd actually been working on a version of the deal beforehand, but it was something we wanted to quickly finalize once it became clear that Wilson was going to miss some time.
Okay. So they'd been working on a version of the deal that they wanted to kick out and finalize something quicker. Don't read into this more than I have, because that's not safe. Because the reading into it at the level that I have, it's not safe and it shouldn't be.
Then we're in your head when we don't need to be.
No, don't do that. But Whit Merrifield's on the Kansas City Royals. Whit Merrifield's a great fit for the Chicago Cubs. And over again, I've told you that the prices for what they're asking. Bruce Levine had the report literally yesterday. They want three major league ready players to do this. Would they start kicking around something that's larger with Kansas City that helps them move some salary here or there, that helps them free up a spot here or there? How deep is it safe to wonder the Cubs got into conversations with the Royals about players other than Martin Maldonado? He fits, he makes sense, and the injury pushes the timeline up. The injury pushes the need for Maldonado to come back. But Theo and this crew, granted, they've said that they don't envision trading some of the big-time prospects from their minor league depths, like a Nico Horner or a Cole Roeder or a Hatch or something like that. Those guys, it doesn't seem, are moving. But if there's a larger exchange that makes sense with the Royals, is it worth wondering, or am I just up a creek with no paddle, is it worth wondering whether or not these talks were centered around something other or bigger than Martin Maldonado?
I think it's completely fair, because that's the way talks go, and they can remain very casual. It's, you know how these things are, that there are all kinds of A, B, and C scenarios depending on when the talks began and what the Cubs thought of themselves at the time the talks began. Because if you talk to Theo Epstein from 2 weeks ago, the guy that was on the McNeil and Parkin show,
yeah.
when he's laying down the law and talking about what could happen here and major changes, if that Theo Epstein was on the phone at that time,
sure.
You're damn right. I mean, this is all fluid, and every conversation is different based on your perception in that moment. You've got an infinite number of realities, the parallel universes that you're dealing with here when a negotiation like this is a living and breathing thing, where your perception of your own team is going to define the parameters of the discussion.
So I think that's probably the right way to go about wondering how the Cubs approach the rest of the deadline. And I think it's also worth noting as we wonder about more and more trades here, and that's where we're going to go with Joe Sheehan coming up in just a little while. there is now a position where they've got some extra depth. But a question mark around Wilson Contreras, if indeed he needs time to cool that injury down. Now, what's also baked into the second half of the season is, like you say, the worry about whether Contreras can aggravate that injury once he comes back, and where the best, what position is best for him to make sure that the inflammation or the strain or whatever it is cools down. And it's for that reason that now I wonder, this Victor Caratini guy that may have been an interesting piece for another team in the past, I don't know if that's a guy that you're as willing to move anymore if you've got an existing injury concern, an existing injury itself around Wilson Contreras.
What if people are asking about Contreras?
Then you're trading an injured player. I mean, we kind of speculated about a Contreras trade, about what that would be to trade off one of the core four, although I'll argue with Jason Hayward hitting the way he has, make it five. I mean, that guy's been fantastic, and you may not trust it, and he's given you two seasons of reason to not trust it, but that guy's performed this season.
You mentioned the Theo Epstein. We talked about him appearing with McNeil and Parkins and giving us a window into how he felt about the team a couple weeks ago. Theo's going to join us Thursday at 11.
Excellent.
So we will look forward to talking about all this and what is going to happen in the next couple days between now and then, what happens not just on the field but off the field as well. Joe Sheehan's got us covered when it comes to Major League Baseball. The Sox, rough start out of the break. The Cubs starting out 3-1, and everything else that's going on, he's going to make us smarter baseball fans and entertain you too. He's next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.